All right, Colossians 3 is, we're teaching through the book of Colossians on Sunday evenings, and then 2 Timothy on Wednesday nights. So I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the book of Colossians. Always did like it. But let's go ahead and look at what we're going to try to cover this evening. And you kind of look here and as I'm reading and see what you think of it. All right, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And it mentions fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. But now you are to put off these. Now they are to put these things off. Anger, here's what needs to go. Anger, you ever get angry? Everybody in here gets angry. Put it off. Don't let it take root down in you anywhere. Put off anger. Number 2, wrath. Number 3, malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of that created him. Wherefore there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we have this honor. We pray as we've read your word and sang praises to you, we pray your blessings upon the word as we break the bread of life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to give this a title, Kill Immorality and Adultery. Kill Immorality and Idolatry. You can't fool, you're not to fool with sin anyway. But these sins are particularly, can be particularly addictive to someone. So you need to kill it. Don't play around with it. Kill it. And that's how you deal with sin, isn't it? Sometimes people get too close to sin and they get pulled right into sin. So you got to be very careful with these kinds of things, especially immorality and idolatry. Immorality is tearing our nation, beloved. It's tearing our nation apart. And it's getting over into churches, too. And it tears churches apart. It tears people's lives apart. And it's taken over our young people also. We live in a horrible time in this nation. And if there ever was a time, and there is a time, that God's people need to live sober, righteous, and godly lives, it's today. They should be able to look at us and see a difference in us by the way that we conduct ourselves. We need to walk as a child of light. And not conduct ourselves to some, we don't want to act like the world or live as the world. There should be a distinction. There should be a distinction between God's people and people of the world. And that's what Paul stresses to all the churches he writes to over and over again. They're to put these things away, okay? Let's go ahead and begin at verse 5 now, and let's work down through the text. Word mortify, therefore your members. The word mortify means to put to death. And it's talking about the members of your body. You're to have your body under control to the glory of God. We're to seek to put off sin now that we're born again. Now that you know Christ, I'm not saying God's people are perfect, but now that you know Christ as your Savior, we're to seek to put off sin. Now, are we going to be perfect in this life? No, we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to be changed. We'll be changed. You'll be changed when you're born again. And you seek to live sober, righteous, and godly, as I've already said, in this world because we represent Him. I want to represent Him well. How about you? When the Bible says that we're ambassadors of Christ, that means we are His representatives. So wherever we work at, wherever we go to school at, wherever we're at, we represent Jesus Christ. And you need to keep that in mind. That keeps me from doing things that are stupid sometimes. How about you? I mean, when you remember who you represent, I think, I'm not going to do that. If I do or say that or act this way, then that's going to reflect bad back on my Savior. I can't stand the thought. Listen to me. I can't stand the thought of reflecting bad on my Savior. Can't do it. And when I can stop and think about that and think about who I represent, it helps keep me straight. And it should help keep you straight. It should help keep you straight also. So we are to seek to put off, put to death these sexual sins. Now, the word fornication is where we get the word porno from. And the Greek word is porneia, porneia. And you can see how that, you know, what it refers to. It's sexual immorality. Now, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me give you some other things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4 and the verse 4. It says, verse 3, let me begin at verse 3. For this is the will of God and your sanctification. This is the will of God and your sanctification. We're to be sanctified, which means to be set apart. We have our position in sanctification. We've been set apart for a holy purpose, and we're to live in such a fashion as that. That's the idea. That's the idea of the particular word. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Possess your vessel in sanctification in honor. And I look back up at verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Abstain from fornication. Abstain from pornia. Seek to live a life that's sober, righteous, and godly. You need to have sexual. You need to be clean sexually. That's what basically that refers to. As we said, this is tearing our nation completely apart, and it's tearing our young people apart. And we need to make sure that we live a sexual pure lives. We should dedicate ourselves to that because that such things displeases the Lord. We want to possess our vessel in how? Sanctification and what else? Sanctification and honor. Sanctification and honor. We need to abstain from sexual immorality. Now, when I'm talking about abstaining from sexual immorality, I'm not just talking about in public. Did you hear what I just said? I'm just not talking about in public. I'm also talking about in what else? In secret. Because what you are in secret is what you are. And if we're something different in secret than we are in public, that's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. What we want to be is real. We want to be real. We want to be clean where God sees and only he sees. We want to be clean. And we're not doing that to get saved. We're doing it because we are. And that's pleasing to the Lord when we conduct ourselves. Sanctification and in honor, not just in public, but also in secret. And secret sin is more available today than it was a few years back. Same movies that you asked to went through Charleston and go up to them filthy theaters in Charleston to see, you can pipe it right in. And it can get a grip on you. And it can get it's amazing when you go look at stats of how many professing Christians get involved with such sin as that, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's notice some of these texts. Here's another list of sins, and same type of sins that we just looked at back in our text in Colossians. But I want you to listen to this. I've read this to you a bunch of times over the years. I'm going to read it to you again. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. How do you get righteous? I'm asking. Now, you be real careful how you answer that, Dale. How do you get righteous? Trust Jesus. You got to have his righteousness to go to heaven. And then you seek to live righteous because you represent him. So be sure to keep that in mind. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind describes the passive and dominant partners in a homosexual relationship. It gives you two words to describe it. Homosexuality is a sin. It's on a list of sins. It's not a race. It's a sin. That's no more a race than you can make a race out of adulterers if you'd like, if you want to say that. I mean, if you can make a race out of the effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, you can make a race out of the drunks. So, well, I'm with the drunk race. I'm a drunkard because that's my race. That's what they're doing, is trying to justify their sin. And it's sin. Call it what it is, it's sin. And you don't do anybody any good but tell them they're okay if they're living in sin. You care about their soul, you give them a warning in a good way. Very important you do that. Now let's go down to verse 11. It says, such were. Notice what it says. Such what? You see the word were? I've told you many times about Corinth. That was one of the most wicked places Paul ever went to. And when he got there, he almost left. And you remember, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord appeared to him and said, speak, Paul. I got a lot of people in this city. He went in there and he preached the gospel, and that's why you had the church at Corinth right here. Now look here, verse 11. It says, such were some of you. Some of them that were members of the church at Corinth were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards. There's all these kinds of things. And he says, such were some of you. That's what they used to be. That's how they used to live. That's how they used to conduct themselves. But now what were they? Not to say. They were washed. Washed. Washed by his blood. Washed. Sanctified. Set apart for a holy purpose. Not only did he wash them clean, but he sets them apart for a holy purpose. All the days of your life. Isn't that a blessing to be able to be set apart for the Lord's purpose? To be used by the Master. Washed. Sanctified. What else? Justified in the name of the Lord. Before they was this list of sins in verse 9, but now that they've been born again, they're washed, sanctified, and justified by the Spirit. Who brought all that about? It was done by the Spirit. Spirit of God's the one that does that. He makes you alive in the new birth. He opens your understanding and opens your heart and draws you right to himself. That's what he did. Y'all thankful for it? Well, we're to mortify sin in our life. We're seek to put it to death. Let's go back to the book of Colossians. Back to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody understands mortify, and he's in verse 5. He's telling them to put off these things. Put these things to death. Don't fool with it. Well, he's saying mortify, he means he's saying kill it. Kill it. Don't fool with it. People get too close to sin, and that's why they fall into sin. Don't fool with it. Stay away from it. Don't get around the people that do all the time either. They'll suck you right in doing the same thing either. Also, mortify it. Okay? Now, what's the consequences? You see verse 5, all that sin there? Now look down at verse 6. What's the consequences of that sin? I'm asking you, look at verse 6. What is the consequences of their sin there? For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. God's wrath will be dropped down on people that live these kinds of ways. Now I'm going to say this one more time. You don't do anybody any good by telling someone that they're okay when they're not okay. Y'all agree with me? You need to care for people's soul enough to give people a warning. And give them a warning in a good way and not in an arrogant way. I've been given warnings in an arrogant way, and I've been given warnings in a good way. You give them a warning in a good way because you care for their soul. That's what you should do. That has a greater impact in people, on people, I think. Y'all agree? So, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says to flee fornication. Run from it. Don't get around it. Flee from it like you would a poisonous snake. Don't get near it. You can't get close to it because it'll pull you in and suck you in. Make an addict out of you with regard to sexual things. Run from it. Now, we got a literal example of that in the Old Testament. Y'all remember? Joseph. Miss Potiphar took her out. I figure Joseph's a fine-looking young man. And she put her eyes upon him and wanted to commit adultery with him and pressed this young man every day of his life. Pressed him. To finally she had enough and grabbed a hold of him, you know. And he ran out of the house and left his garment there with her. Here is an example of literally fleeing fornication. Joseph is an example of a godly man. Isn't that fresh? Isn't it refreshing to see a man of God making a stand against sexual immorality and wouldn't even think about it? Run away from it. I think that's a glorious thing. So many fall to that today in religion and in churches. It's just so refreshing to see somebody with a little bit of morals about them, a little bit of backbone. Now, when we say to flee fornication, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the acts of sexual immorality. And we're talking about the thoughts of sexual immorality. Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. It's just not sin to commit the act of adultery, but it's also sin to think the act of adultery. Both are sin. Both are sin. I confess my sin in the thought stage, and that'll keep it from ever getting into the action stage. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. People say this all the time, and it's just not right. Well, if you think it, you just as well do it. That's goofy. That's not true. If I'm thinking about shooting Larry Eccles back there, is it a whole lot worse if I shot him? I mean, just the illustration shows you how ridiculous of a thing that is. If you think it, you just as well do it. That's not true. That is just not true. When you think it, you need to cut it off right there in the thought stage. And then that will keep it from ever getting to the action stage, which is worse. So all sins is the same. No, and that's not true either. There is some sin that is greater than others. Jesus told the Pharisees, he that delivered me to you hath the greater sin. Some sins are greater than others. So a lot of these things people say that just don't true. So we need to be clean in our acts, in our thought. And we need to kill sexual immorality. And that's what it's referring to. That's what it's referring to. All right, let's go back to our text in Colossians. Well, I got too much. Verse 6 says of Colossians 3 says, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, comes on them. And King David, did he commit adultery? Did he commit sexual immorality? He was called a man after God's own what? Heart, and he fell into sin. But when a child of God does that, what does that mean? Well, that means something pretty bad, but I tell you what, he stayed in that sin for almost a year. You remember what happened? God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And God restored him back, but I tell you what, he went through a hard time, didn't he? I mean, he paid for his sin that he went into. Man, the chastening rod of God entered his life, and the Lord gave him a horrible whipping. And you know what? I'm afraid of the Lord's belt. Are y'all? I fear the Father. Do y'all? I fear what he might do. Man, he'll take you to the woodshed if you belong to him. And you know what he did to David when David committed adultery and then put her husband in the front of the hottest battle so he'd be killed? Can you imagine? The man after God's own heart did that. I'll tell you what. The Lord took him to the woodshed. You read Psalms 51. Psalms 51 was what he wrote after he was set back astray by the Lord. He got so cold in sin that when the prophet came and told him a story that was clearly about him, he never even recognized he was talking about him. He said, the man that done this thing in my kingdom will surely be put to death. And then Nathan said, you're the guy. Thus saith the Lord. And he called him out on it. And David repented. But there was a lot of consequences to his sin, wasn't it? There's always consequences to sin. I mean, we're talking about it how many thousands of years later. We still remember the thing that he did. And the same thing can happen to any one of us. We're not above it. We sit there like, well, yeah, look how horrible David. That same thing could happen to you. That's what's in the scripture. So you'll take warning of it. Okay? All right, let's go back now, Colossians 3, and let's look at verse 7. It says, in which he also walked sometimes. Some of the people there at Colossae, they lived this way. See what it says? In which he also walked sometime when you lived in them. At one time, the people of Colossae were lost, and they lived in these kinds of ways. They lived in sexual immorality. That's how they conducted themselves, see? That's what he wants them to know. In which he also walked sometime. That's how they lived. The walk means to live. And at one time, they lived in these kinds of sins. That's what they did. Corinthian church, before they were saved, I've read that to you earlier. They were saved by God's grace, and then they were said to be washed, sanctified, and justified. And now that these things have happened, they were to seek to put off sin. I've said this a lot to you over the years, but many times we don't take sin as seriously as we should. We need to deal with it, and we need to get it out of our lives. And I'm concerned where God sees. I mean, we like to put it, you can put a good show on in public if you're not careful. I don't want to put a show on for anybody. I want to be real. That's really what I want to be. What again? I want to be real. I don't want to be a fake or a put on. I want to be what again? I want to be real. What I am behind this pulpit is what I want to be in my house where I live up the road here. I don't want to be something different in secret than I am in public. I want to be what again? I want to be real. And that should be true of everybody here. Because what you are in secret is what you are. You want to be real in these kinds of things. Very important that God's people deal with sin in their lives. And these sins that I'm listening that are listed in this text are taking hold of people that proclaim faith in Christ all over the United States. I mean, you can listen to television sometime, and it just talks about. I mean, you constantly see preachers that are falling into these kinds of sins. Popular preachers. Senior preachers. And I ain't so goofy just to think that I would be above it either. No one's above it, but the thought of falling into these kinds of things could happen to you. We got to avoid these things, and we got to flee these things like we would a poisonous snake. I hate a snake, don't you? I even hate one that's not poisonous. You flee from it. You don't fool with it. Because that snake will do what? It'll bite you. Sin will bite you. And there's always consequences for sin. If you're born again, there'll be a consequence for the sin. What was the consequence of David's sins? Man, God great judgment upon him for chastening on him. I mean, you think what happened. That little baby that came from that relationship, think about this. That little baby that came from that relationship with Bathsheba, the Lord took that child. Think about that. He took it. I think the baby went to heaven, according to the text. Anyhow, I'm not going to get off on that. But there was great chastening for that. He just didn't let him go in that. I mean, there was great chastening. Listen to me. I fear the Lord, and I do fear his chastening hand. And David seen what all it did. Nathan said he'd give great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. I would hate to do that. You've given great occasion, because David was known as a godly man. You've given great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Well, looky there. There's a Christian. Look what he did. The man after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Look what he did. And I want you to know something. You ain't above it either. And you need to keep that forefront in your mind. You need to constantly stay close to Jesus to keep out of sin. You need to stay constant in his house, constant in his word, and you still need to avoid all those negative things that's out there in the world that can pull you into sin, because you're not above it either. Even though you're born again, guess what you still live in? You got a sinful nature still yet. You got a sinful nature. The scripture says he that says he has no sin's a liar and the truth's not in him. And that's true, isn't it? So we need to avoid these kinds of things. And we do that for the glory of God. Okay? Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which he also walked some time. You walked some time when you lived in these things. Verse 8, but now, everybody say, but now. See, that's telling you this, there's a difference here. I mean, we looked at all this sin, and it gave us a list of the sin, and told us not to do the sin, and all these things. But now, you know what the but now means? Now that they're saved. But now that you're saved, things are to be different. Y'all agree? But now that you're saved, things are to be different. Here's what you used to be. Here's how you used to live. But now needs to be different. Your life needs to be different. But now, what are you supposed to do with these sins? He says, put off these. Now, there's two lists here. Are you got me? There's two lists here. There's a list in verse 5. Of sexual sin. Everybody got it? Everybody see that in verse 5? Sexual sin. Then he gives you another list of sin, and it's sins of anger. There's two groups of sins. I mean, people talk all the time about all the fornication and all the immorality. That's sin, I agree. That's what the scripture says. But it's also sins of anger. And it's got a big old list of different sins of anger here, too. Anger is a horrible thing. I used to have my temper is nowhere near what it used to be. It used to be very bad. Stewie's used to be horrible, too, while I'm on the subject. But his ain't bad. Hey, Lord's tenderized that man's heart. Amen. He'll cry at a McDonald's commercial now. He will. And I'm the same way. I broke him out more fights than you could probably count over the years. But the Lord has tenderized that man, and that's what he does. Stewie's known for anger. Stewie's known for anger, wrath, and all these different kinds of things. Look here. Filthy communication, all these things has to do with anger and sin. But now things are different. You can't justify your anger ever. There's righteous anger a person can have, the scripture talks about. But anger can make you do some pretty bad things and say some pretty bad things and do some pretty bad things. You always got to have your anger under control. Do I ever get angry? Why? Well, sure, do you not? And if you say you don't, talk to me after the meeting. You get angry. Who don't? But I seek to keep, let me tell you one big difference. I seek to keep mine under control. I don't want to conduct myself in such a fashion that brings dishonor to the one I represent through my anger. Don't want to do it. And I know I'm prone that, listen, I know I'm prone that way. So I watch it. You need to think about what you say and what you do. Oh, I was just, here, look here. Oh, I was just mad. That's no excuse for acting like a heathen. It's no excuse for doing it. So you need to, every day of your life, you need to keep your, because it's two lists of sins. Sexual immorality is there, but also sins of anger. Look here, anger, wrath. What's malice? Wishing evil on others. That's what it means. I wished he'd fall off a cliff. You ever heard anybody do it? I wished he would trip and fall. Something along that. That's wishing evil on somebody. Put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put these things what? Put these things off. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. God's people's not to have these kinds of things in your life. And they can take root in you and cause you to do and things. Listen, it'll cause you to do things you wish you could. You wish you could take it back. Man, you can't take it back. Once it's out there, you can be sorry for it. But once it's out there, isn't it? Can I ask you a question now? If you don't mind, raise your hand. Have you ever said anything and once you got it out there, you regretted it? Raise your right hand. Everybody, ain't they? The only one that didn't raise their hand was me. We've all done and said things, and I thought, man, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. And then in the heat of the thing, I thought, wow, I just went wild, you know. And then after I was done, I thought, oh, how horrible way to act. How horrible a way to act. We justify our anger. Oh, I just got mad. Well, they did this, or they said that, or they done that, and then they blow a gasket. God wants you to have, get me tickled, Brother Dave. God wants you to be sexually pure, but he also wants, which is a control, with God giving you control, but he also wants you to have your anger, wrath, malice, blast, all these things need to be under control too. We leave that out. There's two lists here. He puts two lists here because both are a problem. We focus just on the one. We leave the other one out. It's horrible the way sometimes God's people act in public before lost people. Sometimes a person's going to pull out in front of you. How are you going to act? You going to tell them they're number one? I've seen that a many a time. Well, I got mad. Well, control that thing. You don't have to act like a heathen. If you're going to act like a heathen, just bite. I mean, that's not a good example, is it? Christian people do it all the time. It's not a good thing. Shake your fist. Pull over. You better hope you don't pull over. You just might get whipped. You don't know what you're messing with when you hop out of that car. People act horribly sometimes. So we need to be sexually pure, right? And we also need to have our anger under control. Scripture says, he that's soon angry dealeth foolishly. Have you ever dealt foolishly because you're angry? I'm going to talk just to the men right now. Because men's prone to do this. Have you ever run your fist through a wall? I want you men to raise your hand if you've ever done it. I want to see how many of our men has done it. Oh my, are you kidding me? Did it hurt?
Yeah.
Did it? Run a fist from through the wall. Then they have to go back. Then they have to go back and fix it. Insult the injury. What good did that do? Nothing. Made you look goofy, though. We ought to have these things under control. And the Lord can help us with it. Y'all agree? So, two lists. Sexual immorality. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all these different things is on two different lists in the same section. And it's listed in Colossians because it was a problem back then, the same as it's a problem all the way down the day. We want to have ourselves under control. And you know how you do that? You stay close to the Holy. You stay close to the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to control the flesh. All God's people say it. Amen. You need to do that. And you pray every day, Lord, keep me from... I have to pray it. Lord, keep me from doing anything stupid today. Keep me from sin. Keep me from saying something I shouldn't say. Keep me from acting in a goofy manner. Verse 9, I'll stop. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that we have put off the old man. Put off the what? The old man's the... it's your sinful nature. You don't actually fully put that off. You still got a sinful nature in you, but you're to put off the deeds of the old man. Your deeds is to be different now. We're to seek to put those old sins and lifestyles away that we used to live. Put off the old man with his what? With his deeds. Okay? All God's people say it. All right now, that's my